This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So we asked the questions posed by the belief or expectation of an afterlife, Joshua Black. You were saying?
Yeah.
You were justifying belief in feel-good psychology is what it sounded like to me.
That's not feel-good psychology. It's just understanding what makes you be the most productive citizen in this world. And that is when you can love yourself and love the world around you. And that, you know, I don't know if you want to debate that, because I don't think that's debatable. I think, you know, and religion tries to help out in different ways. And I think these dreams in itself, if they're helping the person believe in something more, whether it be an afterlife, whether it be that they're, if that's their belief and it's a loving approach, right? It's not a haunting. It's more of a comforting message that they're okay, that they love them. And this is what I'm talking about. It's about love, and grief's about learning to love without the person in front of you there to tell you that you're lovable. And so you have that, but you also have those other dreams where it's just nice to see them one more time in a positive way. And that is also a good thing, because I see the change in people from this. And you know what? I'll actually share a dream that I got from an individual. And so the individual, what happened is his friend passed away, and he thought that his friend was, you know, was happy. And then his friend committed suicide, and it really broke him. And what happened was he's devastated. And for 2 years, he started drinking, started doing drugs. And if it wasn't for his wife, he actually probably would have committed suicide himself. He was just down and out. And then one night he had this dream, and in the dream, he was back in elementary school, and he was looking around, and everyone else around was young back then. But then he realized he was in the classroom, that his friend may also be there too. And so he's looking around for him, and then he sat down, and right behind him was his friend. And his friend gave him a thumbs up, and he was smiling, and he was the age he was when he passed away. And so the individual woke up, and he said that dream changed his life. After that, he actually quit drinking, quit drugs, and his relationship with his wife became much stronger. And for whatever reason, whatever happened in that dream actually saved him and helped him a lot. And so this is what I'm talking about, how powerful these dreams can be. And for me to say that this was a visitation or it wasn't or whatnot, I don't think it means anything. I mean, is it helping the person? Really? Like, is it really helping you as you move forward in life to, you know, get back to loving life again? And if that's yes, well, then who am I to say that's wrong? That's actually what we're all, I think, going towards, is how do we, you know, live better in this world and live with others more peacefully?
The thing I'm wondering about here in listening to you is, if the dream has a reality to it, it leads you to a proper decision. Is that your subconscious giving you some support, or is it an external force? And I think that's the big mystery. If there's an external force involved, are you somehow subconsciously in contact with it? And is that force the afterlife, a universal consciousness, what?
I don't know. And I think that's the question. That's something I can't answer through the research. All I can do is sort of look at these dreams from a scientific perspective, as what themes are occurring, how many people are actually having these dreams, is it making you feel better, helping your grief as you move forward, why are people having positive versus negative themes? That's really what I can test for and help understand what actually is going on. You'd probably have to find out, like, more, you know, neuroscience, look at the brain, what's going on in there when these dreams occur. But who knows? Maybe in like 10 years, we can figure that question out.
I think that's a really reasonable point of view. I mean, if you sort of demystify the whole thing and look at it from as objective a position as possible, then what you're saying makes quite a bit of sense. I mean, you're talking to someone who, you know, like I said, I don't believe afterlives are possible. But in the dream that I had with my dad, it was very real. And in terms of my subjective experience, it was like having him there. When I woke up, I felt as though I had actually gone to visit with him. And, you know, I know in my own mind that that's not what happened, but your brain thinks the imagery and what's happening to you in the dream is real. It doesn't really know the difference when you're dreaming at the time. Mm-hmm. And that releases chemicals, oxytocin and serotonin and other things that give you that sense of well-being. And when that happens and it makes a person feel better, I mean, it made me feel much better about things for quite a while. So I can see how these transformative experiences can take place on a biological level without the necessity of having to believe in an afterlife.
Yeah, and that's what I've been saying. Like, it doesn't really matter. Like, if they believe it, that's great. I'm not here to sort of disprove that. What I'm here to say is, like, this is what's going on. And for people who are already religious or spiritual, these dreams can affect them this way. When they're not, it can still have benefits. And as you said to yourself, like, it was a nice dream and you woke up and it didn't like derail you at all. You said it probably maybe even helped you a little bit. And a lot of these dreams can. And that's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter. Like, so my research is showing it doesn't matter if you're religious or not, you're still having these dreams. And so it's not a factor. And, you know, so one of the numbers, over 85% of people in my one study, actually within the first year had a dream of the deceased. And so a large amount of people who lose their loved ones or actually will have a dream at some point in their grief journey. I think that's amazing. And it doesn't just happen for adults. It happens for kids who also dream of their loved ones. It also happens if you lose a pet, you can dream of the pet, and also miscarriages. I just finished a study with that, and you can dream of the pregnancy again, or you can also dream of the baby in different ways, positive or negative. And some of them can be reassuring, other ones can be more negative. So it's just interesting, all the different deaths and our attachments we have with people, in one way or another, it's possible for us to actually have these experiences, continue to have these experiences with seeing them again in our dreams.
I still have an issue, though, when you say it doesn't matter if it reinforces beliefs that are basically nonsense. I have a problem with that.
I have no idea because I have no idea why you would say, like, you don't believe in an afterlife, and that's fine. Like, I'm not here to sort of debate you on if an afterlife's real. I could really care less, tell you the truth. But I'm talking about the person. Yeah.
Joshua, excuse me. You could care less if an afterlife is real. Why so?
I care less if he believes if an afterlife is real.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. For myself, right, it's different. And, like, that's what I'm saying. We're all individual people trying to figure out this world. Because at the end of it, this could just be a big dream. You know, like, I don't know if this is even reality. Because everything that happens in a dream world can also happen in this world. So you probably have heard of that many times. Where, like, how do we know this is even real? How do you know that this is not a dream that we're in? We don't. But what I can do is for myself, as I think I'm an entity in this world, as myself, what can I do to benefit my life? And so if I want to believe in something when it comes to religion that helps me love myself more, helps me love others more, and helps me actually do good for this world, you know, like, that's my own personal thing. And for Randall, if he doesn't want to, well, that's okay. Like, I'm not here to say you have to or an afterlife's real. As I'm saying, like, I don't really care. It's like whatever you need to do to see yourself as lovable, to love the people around you and help them and support them in our community, you know, that's good. You don't need to believe in an afterlife to love yourself. That's all I'm saying. So when I talk about these, you know, bad advice when it comes to grief dreams, that's what I'm saying is you have to allow people to believe whatever they need to believe and work with that belief. Because if you try to pull them a different way, you're not going to get anywhere with them. You're not going to help them. So you figure out what they believe in, whatever, if it's religion or if it's not, and you work with their grief in that way.
We're exploring grief dreams and their implications with Joshua Black. got more to come with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, let me tell you a few things. The number of elderly residents is expected to nearly double by 2050. 10,000 boomers hit retirement age or turn 65 every day. One in six working adults cares for an aging relative. Now let me tell you about Care.com. You see, Care.com is the world's largest digital marketplace for finding and managing all kinds of family care. And it's especially good for helping families find high-quality senior care for their loved ones. You can browse local caregivers to find the ones that meet your needs. You know, I wish we had a service like Care.com around when my mom became ill very many years ago. And here's a special offer for Paracast listeners. You can save 30% off a Care.com premium membership by going to www.care.com/Paracast.
Back pain doesn't take vacations. It never celebrates holidays. It's on the job 24/7 to keep your life exactly where it is, in limbo. But it doesn't have to be that way, because Laser Spine Institute can help you take back your life from chronic neck and back pain. With a less than 1-inch incision, our minimally invasive procedures have provided relief to over 60,000 patients with a 97% patient satisfaction rate. So get ready to stand tall and live the life you've imagined for yourself without pain. Are you or a loved one suffering from a bulging disc, herniated disc, spinal stenosis, pinched nerve, or degenerative disc disease? Call our spine care consultants now at
855-510-BACK.
For a no-cost MRI review and to learn more, it's time to say goodbye to chronic neck and back pain.
Call 855-510-BACK to see if laser spine surgery is right for you. That's 855-510-BACK.
What have you got to lose? Laser Spine Institute, the leader in minimally invasive spine surgery.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey purified water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size for incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency. Get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-557-0158. That's 800-557-0158. Again, 800-557-0158.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com. Virtual care anywhere.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So, Joshua Black, I understand the practical thing here, but when we talk about dreams and precognition, and we normally think, well, you predict possibly or expect the death of somebody, a loved one or something. Are there other areas of precognition that these dreams lead to that may sometimes be true?
Yeah, so I've heard other dreams when it comes to not like a deceased loved one, but let's say mystical kind of experiences. So one dream was shared where an individual was having a court case. So after the person, her father died, there was a lawsuit going on. And the individual needed these papers to actually win the court case, but she couldn't find them anywhere. And so she was stressing out about it, and then all of a sudden she had this dream. And then in the dream, she had she was in this like storage unit, and there was all these bins everywhere. And there's this one bin, and on top of the bin was this kind of like, I think it was like a leather jacket. Anyways, the deceased lifts up the leather jacket, and then the papers are there. And so she woke up, she went to that storage unit, looked at that bin, of course the jacket was there, lifted it up, and the paper she needed to win the court case were actually in there. And I've heard this actually a couple different times where sometimes the deceased will come if you're looking for something and you can't find it, or maybe they stash something. This is a very interesting one. I've heard this a couple times. They stash something, maybe it's money or it's the will, in a place where the deceased, where the living person didn't know where it was. They get the dream where it shows the location, and then they go to that, and the thing is there. So as I'm saying, like it's the mystery of life. It just makes you sit there. I can't, you know, I'm trusting their word on the dreams themselves. And all I can do is sort of acknowledge that that's what they're telling me. And if that's true, that's a very interesting, interesting dream, interesting event to happen in this world.
Is it possible here in some cases, before dying, the deceased person showed them something?
So it
relates
could be, like,
to what they're looking for, and in searching for it, they remember, oh, they showed me that, so they dream of the individual showing them this particular item.
Mm-hmm. That could be. I say like it's hard to really determine. You just trust in the person's word and their cognitive memory to sort of see, have they ever showed me that before? And so that's what I'm saying, like when it comes to if someone ever shared that to me, I acknowledge that that's what they believe occurred, and that's okay. I'm not here to sort of say, you know, trying to like really debate, you know, did you know it before and that sort of stuff, because it's not really going to get anywhere, but just to acknowledge that it occurred for them and what that made them feel, right? Like, and how did that help them, especially with the woman, the court case, it was just like a remarkable feeling that actually helped her not only win the court case and relieve a lot of stress, but also feel love that she was, you know, she took it to visitation. That her father was still with her. And, you know, that's cool.
Don't get me wrong here. I tend to examine things from a skeptical point of view, and what you sort of are seeing is debate for the purpose of getting at what is more likely to be true about specific kinds of claims. And therefore, what we're having is a discussion that is truth-seeking. We're not necessarily having a debate. We're looking for the truth. And so we have to ask those kinds of questions in order to help us make some sense of what you call the mystery. And, you know, I can't help but think that it is the mystery. It is, in fact, that these things are happening and that they do represent a mystery that leads us to these types of investigations. We want to know why. I mean, don't you have any curiosity as to how these things are possible?
Yeah, and I have no idea. I say, like, if they are, especially the precognitive stuff, how it is possible. I have no idea. And I don't have the tools to, and we don't have the scientific understanding yet, even the tools to research that in a way that it needs to be done. And so I'm okay with leaving it as unknown and that it may be possible. I'm okay with that. Some people aren't, right? Like some people really want to know and like, have they ever shown them, you know, where that was, you know, okay. That's who you are and what you need. And they may have or may not. Like, but at the end of the day, like, I'm working with people in their grief, and that trying to understand that aspect, actually turning away from their grief. When I look at things, when I'm speaking to you today, it's about those people who are grieving and sharing stuff to me. How can I approach them in a way that's loving to help them through their journey? But like with you and me, I say like neither of us are talking about someone's grief. Then yeah, it's very interesting, and it could be. What you're talking about, when you talk about what's the truth, it could be multiple things, but I don't know. But I'm not against any sort of approach on what it could be.
Are you never curious to find out why?
not really, you know, like it's very interesting. It depends what you're focused on. And when it comes to that stuff, I know that you can't know science, like academically, you can't study that. But I know it's possible. It could be memory, right? It definitely could be. You just forgot. And that's interesting. But like some of the stuff that you hear, like especially with the people dying and stuff, and I like sitting in the unknown and what it could be. And who knows? But it doesn't bother me. Like, I don't need to find the truth on those things. Other things I do. When it comes to that, I'm okay with just sitting with whatever it may be, given all the possibilities. It's not like I'm one over the other.
I'm just wondering why you feel that way. It strikes me as kind of incurious about things. You have the facilities here of a university to do all sorts of research.
Mm-hmm.
But you're willing to accept the stories as opposed to saying, hey, what's causing this? Is it memory? Is it interaction with some supernatural force? Is it life after death? There's so many possibilities. And if you don't want to do it, or it's not your area of expertise, maybe help encourage other people to look into it?
Yeah, like at the end of the day, if other people want it, that's fine. But it's like, it's how would we know? Like, how do we know? That's what, like, I understand the topic in enough that if someone shared that, let's say it was to try to find something that, you know, they didn't know, they didn't think they knew. How would you even investigate that? You know, like, because if they're not remembering, if it's suppressed, how are you supposed to even know that it was a memory? You know, like, we don't have the tools to understand if it was a memory to begin with. So I can understand the how hard it would be to even try to find the truth. And that's what I'm trying to say. We don't have the tools yet. And so because we don't have the tools, it's not something that's pressing to me, because to understand that question, if that was an actual, you know, memory, or if it was actually something new from sort of the afterlife or whatnot, you need different techniques and tools to investigate this stuff that we just don't have. And so I'm not going to invent it. That's not my purpose. That's not where my heart is. My heart is first just really looking at these dreams to give them, I guess, a voice. And then if people want to, and there's a ton of researchers, yet they just haven't really focused on this topic. If they want to start focusing on these dreams, there's a lot of different areas that you can. And if this is something that they want to do, you know, amazing. It'd be interesting to see what kind of methods they use to try to answer their questions, because I can't come up with any in my head that would be valid. And that's what I'm trying to say. It's one of those questions that, you know, we're just not ready to answer in a scientific community.
I want to ask you something else in our next segment, and we'll get to something our Paracast listeners will be familiar with. With Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Kiyosaki, Rogers, and Schiff all concur there's an economic calamity that will be facing this country. My question to you is, do you know when and are you prepared? Most people don't, but my friends over at Republic Monetary Exchange have been leading experts in precious metals to help you offset the coming economic collapse. Right now, for a limited time, they have a free book called The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. You simply need to give them a call at 888-772-2929 to get that in your hands. Do not allow the insiders to do what they did to you in 2008, putting your IRAs, 401ks, and savings in jeopardy. You need this book, and you need it now. The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. Call 888-772-2929. That's 888-772-2929. There's a reason that the largest investment banking company in the world, J.P. Morgan, just purchased another 50 million ounces of silver. This free book will explain it. 888-772-2929.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So our guest co-host is J. Randall Murphy. Chris O'Brien's on special assignment. Joshua Black is here talking about grief dreams. And we're questioning him on things that maybe he doesn't get involved in, but just to kind of cover where he's at. So, with regard to grief dreams, what about what people remember when they have so-called near-death experiences? You know, they're clinically dead on the operating room table for a short period of time, and they come back and they have some sort of dream experience to relate. Do you look into those?
No, I don't. I just focus strictly on when someone's actually dreaming in their bed. So I don't know much about the information on that. You probably know more about it than I would.
Have you ever had a case where someone has said that they've had a dream that related to some loss of the, you know, loss of a loved one in some way, shape, or form that also involved some sort of maybe the presence of an alien or something along those lines, something highly unusual?
No, like I haven't heard any alien dreams. The closest I've heard is angels. So there's a couple dreams where there was a deceased child that died, and the child was floating on the ceiling, and there was an angel there in bright light, and the child was saying that they were okay and they were with Jesus. So that's probably the like what I've seen. But at the end of the day, once I survey more people, that may come up. I don't know, because I said a lot of it could be based on the way you perceive reality. So I haven't really looked into how other cultures have, what kind of dreams they have. So I'd say like this is like just a starting block to just really pioneering this research. So there's so many unanswered questions and so many things. I think once we collect more data and more stories from people, it'd be interesting to see what's possible.
How many dreams have you actually physically investigated in terms of talking to people or collecting the information?
Good question. Just by like reading literature, talking to people, over thousands. When it came to my first study, there were around 77 dreams for my MA research. And then now I'm looking at dreams, but also just looking at, you know, how people, like what factors predict their dreams. And so I had almost 300 people for my the spousal loss study after pet loss, where I was 175, and miscarriages was around 250. So it's getting up there, and I'm hoping to do another study with after spousal loss when it comes to looking at what dreams are, why do some people have positive dreams versus negative dreams, and there'll probably be around 200 of those. But yeah, just by doing all the talks and interviews I've been doing in the workshops, I've, you know, like every time I go there, there's people that just want to share their dreams. And when I do these interviews, people tend to email me after and share their dreams. And it's, yeah, over thousands of dreams for sure. They're all unique in their own way based on who the person was to them, the relationship and, you know, their lives. And I think that's what's fascinating. There's common themes, and I found different common themes in the dreams of the deceased. And like, so one of them would be like rationalization. So the dreamer is there and they see the deceased and they're trying to figure out how they're even there because they died. And so the deceased usually will say something like, they didn't like being dead, or, you know, something in the fire brought them back. So they always have like an excuse on why they're there. And then usually the story continues a little bit after that. But then there's these helping crossing over dreams. And this is interesting. So sometimes we'll have, I'll see dreams where the deceased is sometimes suffering in the dream, and then the dreamer will lay hands on or pray, and then for the soul to cross over, and they cross over. And other ones I've read from a culture, it's a Cambodian culture, and they have sometimes dreams where they want to be reincarnated because Buddhism is the main religion. And so to reincarnate, they need the person in waking life to do these rituals for them. And so sometimes they have these kind of dreams, so they want to reincarnate sort of back. And then there's the other ones where it's like dead, dying, or ill. So the deceased is, you know, dead or dying within the dream, sometimes as they did in waking life, other times in more exaggerated fashion. There's discomfort for the deceased who's sometimes chasing the person. Then there's the comfort ones, as a lot of people have. Most people have these comfort ones where the deceased who's saying they love them, they're okay, they're providing forgiveness, healthy and happy. So this is where the deceased sometimes usually in the background. And it's just you're seeing them and they're smiling, they're okay. And then lastly, there's a separation theme where the deceased usually says they have to go, which I think is really interesting. So they say they have to go, they have to leave now, and that's how it usually ends, and they sort of fade away. Or there's a barrier between the two. So sometimes a fence, and the person says, you can't come this way, and so they can't actually cross that barrier. So those are like the seven themes that I found. And there's probably more. The more, you know, data you collect, the more these themes could change a little bit. But for the most part, it gives you a sort of variety of experiences people are having.
Is this something you do during your daily work life or something you do in the evening?
I do with the PhD research. I do this every day, all day.
Just doing a quick Google search here, I've run across several instances where women say they've had dreams about miscarriages that involve aliens.
Oh, and, interesting.
Yeah, and most ufologists know about a couple of those cases. I'm not a trivia expert on it. I always have to look things up again to remind me, but I know there are a few cases, and it's interesting to see a couple of them here. Another one says that they had a dream about alien invasion involving people dying shortly after losing their pet dog. It's out there, and it would be interesting to know, because these people who have had these kinds of dreams, they think they're real. They think that they've been abducted by aliens and that they have been impregnated and that they've had their fetus taken from them. And in some cases, they say that they can actually be in communication with them on some sort of telepathic level that they feel takes place during their dreams. So
that's interesting.
It is really interesting, yeah. And but is there any truth to that? Are these as subjective as religious dreams, or are religious dreams another reflection of a type of alien intervention or presence that's, you know, who knows exactly?
Yeah. No, you're right. And there's a lot of things that we still need to find out. But at least if we're talking about them, I think that's the most important thing, to actually get it out there so people don't feel, I think, isolated or alone with these experiences that, oh, other people are having these, and to normalize the experience, I think, is, you know, one of the big reasons to talk about the subject.
Well, I can actually appreciate what you're saying when you don't want to start debating with a patient on what they believe, because that's not, as you say, that's going to produce some sort of cognitive dissonance and send them into a sort of a defensive posture, and it's going to be harder for you to help them. So from that perspective, I can completely appreciate where you're coming from a therapeutic perspective.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Let me ask you also about dreams. Are there ever dreams shared among two or more people where they have the same dream about the same person?
I've heard of stories like that with living people. I haven't heard that when it comes to deceased. The closest thing I can think of was a woman, so lost her father. And so she had this dream where her father and her are talking, and she said that she had, you know, the father. So you have to come visit mom. She really needs to know that you love her and give her a hug. And then the dream ended. Anyways, the next morning, she gets a phone call from her mom saying that her deceased father came to her, told her she loved him, and hugged her. And then the daughter says, I told him to do that. So that was like the closest thing where the deceased sort of showed up in two dreams that are very similar in the sense of what was going on. But they could tell that the time frame was maybe a little different. But I thought it was just one of those things that it makes you sort of just like sit with that and you're like, wow, interesting. But it made her feel, so she cried after, and she felt loved that her father sort of listened to her. So, you know, I thought that was amazing.
That it goes to another party, I think, puts the whole thing in a different perspective. It's not just an individual experience, but something that is extending to another person. We've got more to come with Joshua Black and Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. $39.95 plus shipping and handling. Use discount code GCN and receive 15% off your purchase at BugAssault.com. Fire your fly swatter and get your Bug Assault today.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at FullyCookedBacon.com. FullyCookedBacon.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
How did you become addicted? A friend? Were you at a party and someone said, hey, try this? Then you got the cold sweats and started shaking. And the more you did it, the more it didn't work. So you switched to the needle. Now you're a train wreck. Drinking, drugging, broke. Your family hates you. And you hate you. Get out of your hell on earth now. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline today for immediate help. In many cases, your insurance may cover the costs. We can't guarantee it, but we can guarantee we have what you need to change your life for the better. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. That's 855-700-2979.
Did you know children are 52 times more likely to suffer from identity theft than adults? Credit alerts will not fix the fallout. Liberty ID does, and here's an exciting offer just for you. Go to LibertyID.com and cover your entire family, your spouse, your children, and your parents for only $129 a year. Use promo code FREETRIAL and we'll give you the first 60 days free. That's LibertyID.com, promo code FREETRIAL. LibertyID.com. LibertyID.com.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book is from the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So as I said in the previous segment with Joshua Black, that the fact that the mother, in a sense, is sharing the other end of this experience, that puts a completely different complexion on this, don't you think?
Yeah, I honestly do. I'm just sitting. It makes you sit and, like, just in the mystery of life. And you're like, what? Like, but, you know, like I said, like someone else could say, oh, it's because of they both wanted to dream. And, you know, it's common to have the deceased say they love you and hug you. So, but with that woman, it's just accepting that reality for her and asking her what that felt like to sort of have that dream and for her mom to have that dream. And, you know, have they had any dreams, you know, beyond that and what that looked like? So, yeah, it definitely sort of changes how you see these dreams and what's possible when it comes to dreams itself.
Well, here on the Paracast, we do try to connect things like dreams to the paranormal and those kinds of experiences, because quite a few of us here, I would say the majority of us, do believe that strange things happen and that strange things have happened to us as well. But we're really curious as to why and how, and not just simply sort of describing the experience for ourselves to make ourselves feel better. So that's where I was coming from with my previous questions. And we're not in a therapy session here. So I think it's fair for us to explore some of the reasons why we maybe think the things that we do. And you say you do believe in an afterlife. So if you don't mind me asking, why do you believe in an afterlife?
You know, good question. Well, the first one I answer that, even though it's just me and you and we're talking, I know other listeners may have been dealing with grief. And so that's why I'm always, when it comes to this, we're like in a bar or something and maybe talking about it a little bit differently. But because I know other people are listening and they may be grieving, I'm aware of that. So we're actually in the kind of a therapeutic session with the outside world. But when it comes to sort of my own belief system and why I believe that, good question. You know, like I was raised in a Christian home most of my life, so it was around me. But I never really believed in God. You know, I was just more just doing it for them, to help them. But it was one dream I had that actually just changed the direction of my life. Before, I always thought dreams were from the devil. And that's sort of my, I had like nightmares as a child. And that's what my mom and dad would say to me. And so I never really thought dreams were anything. And if they were, they're actually negative in nature, from the devil. So what happened was I was dating this woman and I was madly in love in high school. You know how that goes, right? And then, of course, you know, at the end of it, she cheated on me and it broke my heart. It really just tore it. I haven't felt that kind of suffering before. Like I didn't eat or sleep for like 3 days. And I was just like, I was so out of it. And I couldn't understand why I was in so much pain. And so it was the first time I said, you know, God, if you're even there, please help me understand why I feel like this. And so I said, I'm just like out there. I'm like just down and out, just saying, okay, this is my call. You know, I haven't called you yet. This is my call. And so what happened was I had a dream, and I'll share the dream. I saw this stream. I started running by this stream. I was frantically looking for something. And I was walking up and down, running up and down these hills, going under bridges. And it felt like it was just hours just doing this thing. And it finally opened up and led to this ocean. And then in the distance, there was a pier. And so I saw a person on the pier. And so I went and ran over to the person on the pier and frantically looking like, where is it? Where is it? And I looked, and he looked at me and he said, and pointed out to the left and said, it could be over there. And he pointed to the right, it could be over there. And then he said, point to the center, and he said, it could be over there. But then he looked at me with these like very like stoic kind of eyes and just very calm, peaceful. And he said, do you know where it truly is? And he pointed to his mind. And then I woke up with like a flash of lightning that just like went through me. And not only was the first time like this dream was very different than any other dream I ever had. So it was so like I caught my attention. But the other thing, I knew what it meant. For me, it meant that my perspective on the events. So I was blaming the girl for cheating on me, blaming the guy for, you know, doing what he did, but I wasn't actually focusing on myself. So I woke up and I knew instantly that the perspective was wrong. And why I was feeling so much pain was because I didn't love myself. And I always used her as a way to feel loved. And so because she cheated and because even she just left, it was just bringing all that up to the surface. Then my goal was, how can I learn to love myself more? And that was the first thing, because I prayed and this thing happened. And as I moved forward, I started figuring out different ways on, you know, how to love myself. I looked at different saints and even Jesus and their approach to teaching people to love themselves. And so that's how I got into sort of, there's something here for me. And that's what I'm saying. Like, and it led me to love myself more. And I think that's why it's for me, it led there, and when I believe that there's something more, and then my dream with my father was the big thing that helped me believe that there was an afterlife, because that dream of my father was the same kind of dream I had with that guy on the pier, same kind of feeling, and I hadn't had a dream like in that time frame that was different. Like, I think that's why is the starting point, and then it's just like, how do I, other events in my life that just sort of reinforce that belief in me. And that's sort of the process on sort of how I sort of began believing.
How old were you at this time?
So when the girl, it was after high school, was when the, I don't know how old I was, what, 19? There was OAC back then. So dating myself. So yeah, it was probably like 19, 18, 19 when I had that first dream. And then the dream of my father, I think it was around 23, 25.
Up until then, did you have a strong religious commitment?
No, like my family home wasn't one that was the greatest. And so here are these people, especially my father, was very angry, very judgmental, very hateful and abusive in different ways. And he was preaching religion to me. And how can I believe in something that this person saying I need to believe in when he's trying to use force? And so I never really, if anything, I disbelieved because he believed it. But these experiences really changed that.
Well, thanks for sharing that. That's really quite interesting. And, you know, how it reflects on me. I mean, you've got your sort of your confirmation of your beliefs coming from it in one way. And I kind of see, envisioning this as you were describing it, the character that pointed at his head, as if it's, you know, the answer is in your mind. It's in your intellect, and you can manage it. And you related to that on a very intuitive level and began to become retrospective and to think about it and why you were feeling that way. And I think that's really important. And I think it's really important that you don't let that journey stop with your belief in an afterlife. I used to believe in afterlives. I used to believe in God at one time. I went away from that. I went back to it. And that was some 20 years ago when I left it again and have never looked back. I've just moved past it. But I really think it's part of your journey, and that message to keep using your mind and keep asking questions and see what makes the most sense from a critical thinking perspective, whether we can study it scientifically with material evidence or not, that doesn't matter so much. use your mind. It's really powerful, and it will really facilitate this journey that you're on, is, you know, my two cents worth.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that's great, and to see that, and to see the positive of that. And so we're all on a journey, and so, like, you're in religion, you're not religion, and at the end of the day, you could take the dream and my own experiences as what you want. It's just, like, what product does that come? And if you're in a religion that isn't conducive to you, you know, loving yourself, then my question is, why are you there, you know? And a lot of people, unfortunately, are in religion because their parents were in religion, and they just don't want to make them upset by saying they're not, you know? But yeah, always sort of look at, why are you doing what you're doing? Because it'll lead you down a rabbit hole that can really, I think, help you learn to appreciate yourself more, to make your own choices, and to love people, I think, in a new level. Because I always feel that I've learned in my own life that once I learned to love myself more, it was so much easier to love other people.
Well, that makes a certain amount of sense. I've never really had that problem personally, so... And, you know, I just look at, but the rest of it makes perfect sense in terms of, you know, thinking about it and reflecting and go, well, you know, I'm not a perfect person. I don't know everything. I don't have all the answers, but how can I find them? How can I learn more? How can I make myself, you know, a better person by considering these issues? And yep. For me, it always comes down to trying to find the truth about things, which is why I get so curious about why it is that these things happen and what do they represent, you know?
Yeah, well, I'd say, like, it's interesting, like, but being a critical thinker is so influential in finding, I think, the answers you're looking for. So if you have an answer, like, go search for it, you know, and if it's not out there, you know, try to find a way to make it so, if that's the question you're asking.
Let's go to our break, and then we'll have more. Joshua Black. And Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast Jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
North Korea openly threatens the U.S. and launches a new missile every other week. Their warhead of choice? Electromagnetic pulse. Such an event would cripple the U.S. power grid for years and leave millions in the dark. Are you ready? You can be with a Solark EMP-hardened solar generator. Solark works day in and day out to keep your essentials protected. You can have peace of mind knowing your power will be there when you most need it. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to see EMP testing. That's PortableSolarLLC.com. Energy insurance for your family.
You've heard the phrase, you are what you eat? Not true. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So if the vitamins and supplements you now take are not being absorbed, what good are they? Introducing Protovite, proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video at TrueHealthFacts.com. That's TrueHealthFacts.com. Then call 502-410-3411. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.